We started, in fact, last week with a four-part series on why did Christ come into the world. And we said that he came into the world first to, we listed four things, and we said to reveal the Father to us, and that's what we talked about last week. We said he came into the world to show us by example how to live, and that's what we're going to explore this Sunday. We said that he came to found his church. We'll talk about that next Sunday. And finally, of course, he came into the world to redeem us, to redeem mankind from its sins, and that we will talk about on the Sunday before Nativity. But today, talking about show us how, an example of how to live. In John's Gospel, in the 8th chapter, it's recorded that Jesus said thus, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You notice, who follows me? You've heard me preach before that, you know, it's really erroneous to say that Christians are those who believe in Christ. And we can find in the scriptures where even the devils believe in Jesus. They say to him, "What hast thou to do with us, Son of David?" They recognized him as the Messiah. It is the following of Jesus that makes one a Christian. We know, all of us, that it was, scripture tells us, it was in Antioch they were first called Christians, and we know that before that they were called people of the way of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do, and that's what we're called to be like, is Jesus, to be imitators of him. Okay? Now, Jesus preached how to live, and then he lived it also. His living mirrored his preaching. I wish I could do that. I recognize when I'm preaching to you on particularly certain things, like having a no control of, or improper control of your temper, for example. That I wish I could follow my own preaching. But Jesus followed what he preached. You know, they used to say, "Can you walk, talk the talk, but can you walk the walk?" Right? He did. He did. Because to do otherwise would be hypocritical. Right? And he railed against hypocrites. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whitened sepulchres, who indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanliness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Now, we're not hypocrites if we're trying to follow Jesus and we fall. As long as we get up, make restitution or whatever is required to fix our wrong, we confess our sin, and then we continue on. That's the expectation that God has for us. But then we continue to try to lead that life that, in the example that Jesus gave us. Now, Jesus, we looked at last week, was revealing the Father, and he reveals the Father as love, right? As love. And John in his first letter tells us, "God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Okay? And just as we saw last week that God was love, we find Jesus commanding us to love when he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know ye that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's from John's Gospel in the 13th chapter. So he tells us that's the new commandment, to love. Well, we can say to ourselves, how did he show his love? John records in his Gospel, the 15th chapter, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." His love is demonstrated right there on the cross. There's nothing more he could have done to demonstrate his love for us, to give the example of love for us, to come into the world knowing that would be the exit, yet doing it anyway. That's the great, one of the great mysteries and the compelling thoughts as we approach Nativity, is that God would lower himself to come into the world as a human being, knowing what would be done to him. But because he loved so much, he came into the world and went upon that cross so that we could live. So at the parish, you know, really, we try, in a small way, to follow in that footsteps of love as we show our love for the people of Tampa by bringing them the true faith. So whatever little sacrifices we make, we gave up our afternoon yesterday to come here and do all our nativity cleaning. That's our way, one of our ways that we show our love for the people of Tampa, to make a clean, welcoming home for them when they visit us and when we bring the true faith to them. Jesus also tells us that we share in the love of God by keeping his commandments. Again in John's Gospel, in the 15th chapter, he says this, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So he gave us that demonstration. He says, I abide in my Father's commandments, and thus I share in his love. You need to abide in the commandments so that you too may share in that love. And that's the new commandment that I give to you. His Father having sent him into the world, right? Jesus was obedient even unto death. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Huh? How's that for being obedient to that commandment to love? We just talked about the cross being the symbol of his love. And there's the obedience to the commandment to love, that he took the cross in obedience to his Father. For each of us is to show that love. Jesus teaches the importance also and the attributes of a Christian, such as being meek, humble, and forgiving. He teaches meekness in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he tells us to be meek. Did he practice meekness? Matthew records in his gospel in the 26th chapter, behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's meekness, to have the power and not use it. To be in the right and not insist on your position. To surrender to the will of God, though you have the power to do different. That's true meekness. I think all of us, I know in my heart that if I were able to summon the legions of angels to save me, certain that's what I would have done. Because I lack that virtue of meekness. But meekness is that virtue of not insisting on your rights, even when you have them. Even when you have them. And we know so often, we see that happening. You drive along and they're cutting each other off and leaning out the windows, giving dirty gestures and obscene gestures to each other. There was a time that it was young boys that did that, and now I see middle-aged women doing that. Okay? Because there is no meekness. That's all we hear is, right? It's my right. We have rights that don't even exist in this country. We make them up. If we don't have them, we'll make them up. I've told you before. And as a lawyer, I have read Roe versus Wade. And our Constitution contains no right to an abortion. But we invented it. The seven people, or nine people sitting on the Supreme Court, nine justices decided they were going to change the law. And so they invented a right. And so you see what happens when we abuse meekness. So that's Jesus showing us to be meek. He taught humility. He said in Matthew's Gospel, in the 18th chapter, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as the little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humility goes hand in hand with meekness. You can't be meek if you're not humble. Did Jesus practice humility? We even have an icon called Extreme Humility, sometimes called the Bridegroom. Traditionally, many times in Orthodox churches, over the table of preparation, they'll have an icon of the Nativity. Here at St. Philip, we have an icon of Christ the Bridegroom, or Extreme Humility, Christ after the scourging. Or if we want to understand humility, reflect on Matthew's Gospel, the 27th chapter. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified." What tremendous humility it took to endure that, especially knowing that he could have summoned these angels again at any moment to strike them down who spit on him, the creator of all. You know, we were planting the flowers Thursday, and there were some ants out there. They won in their fight with Michael. But you know, you see one of those fire ants, and we know they can bite us, right, and cause a little pain. And so what do we always do when you step on one, right? And just think, the creator of all didn't just step on one of these soldiers who was spitting on him. God Almighty stood there and let this happen in his humility. Jesus taught forgiveness. And Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times?" And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And he didn't mean count up in at 491. You can smite him now. No, that were infinite numbers. Means as long as your brother is sinning, forgive him. Forgive him. Did Jesus practice forgiveness? Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Can you imagine hanging on the cross and begging God's forgiveness for those who put you there? He preached it and he practiced it. And yet we hold our petty little things against others, some real or imagined wrong, and how it pales in comparison to being crucified. And we don't even utter a prayer for the soul of the person that may have wronged us. Instead, we harbor that grudge, and we, like the charcoal, you know, when I light it in the morning, it would blow on it. When you can see it glows hotter. And we do that same thing with our anger. Because we hold on to those things. We need to follow Jesus, to imitate what he did, and to forgive. He preached about praying and fasting, which is where we are. Seems like I always remember to say happy great fast during the great fast, but I never say happy Pascha or Philip's fast. So happy Philip's fast. I hope we're all enjoying that to the best of your ability, for those of you that are not blessed with good health. But all of us doing those things that are proper for the time of the fast. And he said, they remember the disciples came to him and said, how come we couldn't cast out this evil spirit? And he said, because those go out only by prayer and fasting. And what did Jesus do? Prayed all the time. We can find him many, many times. Matthew's Gospel, 14th chapter. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto a mountain apart to pray. How about fasting? What did he do before he even began his public ministry? Fasted for 40 days. Jesus practiced everything that he preached. You know, the man came to him, there were his disciples, and they wanted to know about, riches. They were observing about riches. And the rich man came and said, what do I need to do to be perfect? He said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And the rich man went away sad because his riches were many. And Jesus said, what? Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is asked about, what people are going to get for following him. And he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. No house. No expensive clothes. No luxuries. No computer. No iPod. All of those, how much we're in the Christmas season, how much of those things have seemed to become, seem to become important. They're really not in comparison to following Jesus. So that's our reflection for today then, is that one of the reasons Jesus came into the world was to tell us how to live and then to show us how to live so that we would have his example. Remember I mentioned in passing last Sunday that one of the great heresies, early heresies, was that Jesus was really God, sort of took on the form of man, looked like man, but he really wasn't man. Why? One of the best things about that heresy is then we can say, well, you see, he really wasn't man, and he doesn't expect us to be like him. He was God, and so that's okay. We don't really have to follow all those things he said and did. But being true man and true God, we see him leading the life that he's preached to us and told us to live. And Peter writes this in his first epistle. Says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Leaving an example. So let's reflect then on the example of Jesus. Throughout all of the things that he did in those 3 years that are recorded in the Gospels, the way he showed us how to live so that we too can do the same thing. And you know what? It'll be the best gift we can give ourselves for Christmas. And that is to make up our minds that we're going to try even harder to be imitators of Christ who showed us how to live. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.